Hey everybody, it's Doug Sheff with RE/MAX Oceanside and MakeManYourHome.com. This is episode 6. Wow, I can't believe it's episode 6. Today I'm going to see the Cape Elizabeth Land Trust. Really excited about this because in my neighborhood I got some trails around here that me and my family use quite a lot. And there's trails sprinkled all over Cape Elizabeth that is either run by the town or the land trust. And I'm really excited to see what the differences are. And I'm also excited to learn a little bit about the history of land trust and what they do exactly to maintain these trails. So let's do this. All right, guys, I made it over to the Land Trust in Cape Elizabeth, and I'm here with Cindy Crum. Super excited about talking about the Land Trust today. I go on a lot of trails here in Cape Elizabeth, and there's tons of trails all over the place, and most trails are managed by Land Trust, so I'm excited to chat with Cindy today. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. So, Cindy, let's learn a little bit more about you first. Why don't you tell me where you're from?
So I grew up mostly in Delaware. But oh, cool. I came up to Maine to go to College of the Atlantic.
Okay.
And pretty much have stayed since.
Since college, yeah.
I left for 5 years to live in Honolulu, which was
fun. I don't blame you.
But I came back to Maine. I love it here.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
That was about 3 years ago I got back. But otherwise, yeah. I've been in Maine for quite a while, and love it here.
You were in Hawaii recently then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm just curious. What was that like? I mean, I've never been to Hawaii, but what was it like living there?
Well, it's funny, you know, because, I mean, I love Maine, and I still do. And yeah. I would not have gone there. It was my husband who really drove the idea, and he found a job.
Yeah.
But once I got there, it was easy to live there. You didn't have to worry about putting on a lot of winter clothes. You know, and you've got the mountains within 5 minutes of where you're living to climb. You've got the ocean to swim and kayak. I mean, it's a paradise.
Right. Yeah.
Like they say.
Yeah, I bet. You know?
But Maine is too. And that's what we're doing here. We're keeping it like that.
Yeah, exactly. We take it for granted a little bit, right?
Right.
Nice. What was it like growing up in Delaware?
Well, my father worked at the university, so I remember going to a lot of programs over at the university. I mean, it was 30,000 students, I think. So there were, as I got older, there were a lot of movies and different things.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was very much a university town.
Oh, yeah.
And that was fun.
I bet.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate. I was able to go off to something called the Audubon Expedition Institute in high school.
Okay.
So that got me traveling around the country and starting with hiking and you know, doing a lot of the things I love to do, because I've always really loved the outdoors and the environment. My parents saw that at a young age, so they found this really unique program, which I did for 2 years.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So is that just like, I'm not familiar with that program. Is that like an educational program? Just get outdoors?
Yeah. It's a you know, school year program. Mm-hmm. There was a bus, 20 students, 4 guides.
Right.
We traveled around the country learning about the natural history, the culture. You know, we stayed with the Hopi Indians for a while, with some Mennonite farmers, and then did a ton of backpacking. And we would really study different topics like geology, or
you
know, stop at libraries and study things and write papers. And
right.
So it was a traveling
great,
school.
What a great way to learn about, you know, the outdoors and all that stuff, right?
Just it was amazing.
Diving right. Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was amazing. That's how I found out about College of the Atlantic.
Okay.
Because we stopped to visit College of the Atlantic, and I just remember stepping on that campus and thinking, this is where I'm going to go.
This is where. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I was going to ask you what made you choose this. So that's awesome. So it was through that program that you found your way up here.
Yeah, and also the guides all lived in the back, Maine. Right. So we spent a lot of time up in the back.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, was this like high school time? Is that kind of when
that was high school?
That's like the age group that would go in that?
Yeah, high school.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Geez, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, the outdoors really, like from a young kid. You're like ready to go. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's fitting you're in this position.
Oh, totally. No, we used to camp as a family, and I would, I remember I'd convince my parents I had to like sit up half of the night to see if other animals would be coming like into the campsite, because I was just so curious.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you just wanted to see
like the skunk, you know, or something. But
yeah, right. The skunk, raccoon. Yeah, right. Watch out for the bears.
Still, I just wanted to see them. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
No, I've always been.
Yeah, that's
an outdoor
very cool.
enthusiast. Yeah.
So after college, What'd you do there? What'd you do after college? Like, what kind of jobs did you get after that?
I focused mostly on environmental education at the time. So I worked for an outdoor center up in Vermont for a year, and I worked numerous times more in seasonal positions at Maine Audubon.
Okay.
And then I started my own business called Nature Walks Unlimited.
Okay,
And we'd get grants to do science residencies in different schools, train teachers on how to use the outdoors as part of their classroom.
Oh, nice.
And as well, I would do like individual programs, say for like spouse groups out at the Inn by the Sea or different places where, you know, when there were conferences.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah. And
how long did you run that?
Oh, quite a while, maybe 7 or 8 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I did pretty well. I got a lot of grants and a lot of programs. And
that sounds like a fun business.
Yeah, and Maine Audubon would refer people to me and others too. So
yeah, I'm going to have to change my career. This sounds like fun. I'm getting all like, excited. let's go do something. That's great. So after that company, did you come right here? Or is that when you went to Hawaii? Or what? How did that?
No, so I got my master's in environmental studies from Antioch, and then I wrote science curriculum for quite a while after that, and then I got a job running the Gulf of Maine Council, which is a Canadian-U.S. partnership to focus on habitat restoration and protection.
Yeah.
And I did that for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Well, including 2.5 years since I was here, I did them kind of both for a little while just to close out stuff there.
Yeah.
So, and I was able to do that.
We need you to finish up routine.
Right. Yeah. And I was able to, I thought 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean.
But then I did that from Honolulu.
Oh, wow.
So I was able to do that from Honolulu.
Oh, good.
Because you could do it from anywhere pretty much.
Right.
Since it was such a large area.
So was that kind of like your job when you were out in Honolulu?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
good.
That was my only job.
Oh, that's
good.
So you didn't have to worry about like finding a new job or anything over there.
No. Yeah. My husband got a job out there.
Right.
I was able to just keep with the same thing. And then when I came back, I was ready for something new. And I had run the South Portland Land Trust, also ironically
about that. Yeah,
from Honolulu.
Oh, really? Great.
For a while. And then I did it from back here for a year.
Yeah.
And that's how I got interested in land trust work. And so I applied for this job.
Oh, that's great.
And I've been very happy.
Yeah. That's a great time. I'm kind of partial to it. So
yeah. Oh, I love it.
Well, great. Let's dive right into the land trust then. Maybe, when I'm out in like trails and stuff, I see the green belt, you know, thing on all the trees, and you know, you hear about land trust and all that stuff. What can you tell me? Like, let's just kind of start off with, like, what is a land trust? What does a land trust do? You know, maybe you can explain all that.
Right. Yeah. So obviously, the biggest focus is on either putting easements on land or purchasing land.
Okay.
And so, a conservation easement means that in most cases, that another landowner still has the land, but there's restrictions on what they can do with it.
Right.
They can't develop it typically.
Right.
And so we do both of those things. Sometimes land has been donated or conservation easements have been donated, but we've found more recently that people are really wanting the market value for their land or for the easement.
And
that makes
some
sense.
So
that's where, you know, we've really had to focus on raising more money to be able to buy these different properties. So that's our biggest focus, and I think it's the biggest focus of most land trusts. Our other focuses, you know, one comes with that, is that then you've got to steward those lands in perpetuity. So when we protect land, it's protected forever.
Gotcha.
And so we need to make sure that we have the resources and the people power to take care of those properties.
Oh, that's interesting. So you have to really look into the future.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit when you're analyzing the land.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
To make sure you have the funds and all and the manpower and all that stuff.
Right. So when we raise money for a property, we also raise 20% of the price of the property for a stewardship fund.
Okay.
So that's one way we do it. And then
So every dollar that comes in, you set aside a certain amount.
Right. 20%. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And then as well, most land trusts, and we've been working on this as well, really trying to establish an endowment so that they know there will be money kicked off each year that they can minimally do their stewardship. Now, hopefully they're always going to be able to do the other programs as well. So we have a very extensive education program, which we're really excited about. We do a lot of work in the elementary school. It's expanded to the middle and high school.
Oh, wow.
And as well, we do programs over at the landing at Cape Elizabeth, and even what's in Scarborough out at Piper Shores.
Okay.
And then we have a lot of community programs that are offered through the community program system, but the land trust organizes those, so a lot of adult programming.
Okay.
As well.
Now, when you say program, just to kind of bring it down, make it simple, just so I understand, you're talking about like education.
Oh yeah.
Teaching them about the land and all that.
Yeah. So yeah. In the schools, we take them out to our different properties.
Okay.
And teach them about like some of the animals and how they adapt, or about the insects and the other animals that are living in the pond, or things like that.
Yeah.
So really to get people to understand and appreciate the natural world.
Right.
And we do the same with our adult program. I mean, there might be a wildflower walk or learning about edible plants, although you're not allowed to eat them on our preserves.
We
want people to know about them.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I didn't realize you had adult programs like that as well, because I know my daughters have come home, you know, from field trips or whatever before, and they love it. It's awesome.
Yeah. Great.
So how would like an adult sign up for something like that? Does it come through this?
So we do it through the community services.
Okay.
So there's that catalog that you get one
couple
times a year, or it's up online.
Okay.
And we have a lot of land trust programs in their catalog.
Okay, great.
And that's so like, so for example, next weekend, let's hope for snow, I and another volunteer, Tony Owens, are planning to lead a snowshoe walk.
Oh, great.
Or, you know, twice a year I lead the crosstown walk.
Oh, nice.
For 7.5 miles all the way across town.
Yeah.
And some of that's on town property. In fact, the green belt is the town sign, although they have that sign on many of our trails as well, so that people know their, you know, trails that people can go on.
Gotcha.
But so we really collaborate a lot with the town, as do other land trusts, to make sure we're working together.
That's interesting, because I don't know if I actually knew that. So the green belt is actually a town
sign.
But a lot of it is, because I mean, it's a lot of it's on your land.
Right. So the town will sign. Well, I don't know. We probably have to talk to the town to see exactly how they do this, but they want people to know where they can walk. Yeah, that's their thing.
That, okay.
And we're fine if they're putting some green belt signs on our properties. That's fine.
Right. Yeah.
And so, but often the green belt sign means that you're on town property, but not always, because there are some on our properties, which is fine.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now, what about the history of this land trust? When was the land trust founded? When did it start?
Yeah, so we were founded in 1985. Mm-hmm. And we were really founded because there were some people, I think, on the Conservation Commission, it was the commission at that time instead of committee, that thought perhaps with a separate organization there might be some flexibility about raising money to buy land, or, you know, reaching out to certain landowners that maybe the town didn't have.
Okay.
So it kind of came as an outgrowth of town work.
Oh, okay, great.
And then it really has grown, you know, a lot since then.
Right.
And in 1985, there were a lot of land trusts starting. In fact, Maine has, per capita, it's the second state in the nation for number of land trusts. California's the first.
Yeah.
So Maine has over 200 land trusts, and it's a very common thing, and I think a really special thing, because if you think about it, like the smaller properties, 25, 30 acres that we can protect here, on a state level, they're not going to say, oh, let's go protect that 25 acres in Cape, you know?
Or in Booth Bay or anywhere,
right?
Yeah.
You know, that's just their focus isn't on that community,
the smaller pieces,
special place kind of property.
Right.
And so the individual land trust can do that.
Right.
And really make it so that everybody can walk out their door and within a few minutes get to a place where they can be in a natural environment.
Right.
I mean, that's really one of our visions.
Yeah.
And I know it's a vision the town shares as well, too. We're very fortunate in that. In fact, when they did the recent comprehensive plan and they did a survey, I don't know if you saw that, they had like 97% of people wanted, you know, some of these natural places protected in town.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we're so happy to, you know, be doing this in a town that also supports the same type of work.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to have the backing there.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. No, and they've helped to fund some of the projects that we've been working on. And, you know, it's been great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So managing the land once you have it and, you know, protecting it, How do you manage that? I mean, do you have a crew here at the Land Trust, or do you have, you know, look for volunteers? You know, how do you do that?
Yeah, we definitely look for volunteers. I mean, the Land Trust has over 200 volunteers on an annual basis.
Wow,
who do work here?
Oh wow,
great. Oh yeah, and yeah. Some of them put in, you know, a couple hours a year. Others put in 20 hours a week. I mean, seriously.
Wow.
We have some people who do a lot
really
of work
care.
For the Land Trust.
Oh wow, that's great.
You know,
yeah.
And so we have a committee. Our stewardship committee.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually has three chairs because there's so much work to do. And I think one person didn't want to have to manage it all
right.
on their own. And I think they've had a lot of fun working together.
Oh, that's great.
And then the committee members are very engaged as well. And so they make decisions about what needs to be done and who wants to do it. And then if they need more volunteers, we have people walking in here all the time and say they want to help.
Let me
and
do
they
something.
Want to volunteer. And we yeah. keep it all in a spreadsheet and emails go out to them. And now that we have a new stewardship manager, because this is the first time we've had an actual position in the Land Trust, it's a part-time position
yeah.
to do stewardship, you know, there will be even more coordination that will happen among the other volunteers who aren't on the committee.
Oh, wow.
So you know, and a lot of times it is people who move to town. You know, they come in and they
right.
start wanting to get involved.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who live here or have lived here for their whole life,
and they
you
just
know,
want,
many
they
generations,
just want
they just want yeah. to help keep it the way it is,
yeah.
you know?
I gotta admit, I've been really impressed with, like, whenever I'm out on the trails with the kids and whatnot. I mean, you know, like if a tree came down, it seems like, you know, it's cut up so quickly. You know
oh, yeah.
I mean? Like you can be walking along and you can see a fresh cut and you're like, how did they do that so fast? So,
right. No, it is amazing. I mean, we have a whole group of people who have chainsaws and like to
just
do that.
And do yeah.
And no, I mean, I'll come in the next day with pictures of where the tree was and how it's gone, you know, that they've sent me.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was down before it's gone.
Right, right.
You know, like people are that quick. I mean, there's a whole email chain that goes around once there's a tree down, and there's a whole group, and who's ever available goes.
They just kind of keep track of it.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
that's so amazing. Yeah.
yeah.
I've thought of that a lot because, you know, I see that often, of course, here in Maine, things fall, and you know what I mean? And you're just like, how does that get cleaned up so fast? It's amazing.
Yeah. yeah. No, and the town, really I think, you know, does it with their town services on their properties. So between the two of us, we just have systems
like,
that work.
So, yeah, so much there to take care of. That's,
yeah.
That's great. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Now, before we talk about this, I think we could touch on, before we came on air, we can talk about like other land trusts. You talk about, there's what, like 200 land trusts here in the state
right.
of Maine. Now, do you guys all talk together?
Yeah.
You know, are there land trust meetings?
Yeah, yeah. yeah there are. The Maine Coast Heritage Trust has something they call the Maine Land Trust Network.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been grant funded and they've been able to put staff into that and really focus on helping us to network. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
So they hold regional meetings for land trust directors and other staff. And then they also hold an annual conference.
Okay.
So we go to both of those. And then it's neat, but there's a not even all of Southern Maine, it's just kind of the Portland area land trust executive directors have been meeting once a month for at least the last year.
Okay.
And that's really fun because it's a pretty small group of us, but we're able to talk through some of the things we're working on and get, you know, others' perspective and maybe, you know, references to people we should reach out to
right.
you know, get some help on certain things. So that's been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Just kind of being able to have everybody, you know, on the same page and share
yeah.
ideas and all that stuff.
Yeah. And sometimes awesome. We talk about how could we work more about trails too that intersect the different towns. Now, of course,
oh,
here
yeah.
we've got a marsh that goes between us and Scarborough.
Right.
So that's a little
pretty
hard
easy to say. Yeah.
yeah, that was a little hard, but we
yeah.
could work a little more with South Portland or
gotcha.
You know, something like that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's see. I thought we'd talk a little bit about, like, you know, how you fundraise, how you get your money and all that kind of stuff. Did you want to touch on that? Do you have somebody else here that would want to talk about that?
Well, Patty Renault is our membership and development manager.
I think
it'd be great for you to hear from her.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk to Patty.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
So this is Patty. What's your last name?
Renault.
Patty Renault. Okay. Yes. And what's your job title here?
I'm the membership and development manager.
Okay, great. We were going to talk, just touch on a little bit of like your fundraising, how the money gets in here, who can donate and how that goes about. So why don't we talk about that first? Where does the money come from? Is it town?
Most of it actually comes from individuals.
Oh, okay.
We are a membership organization.
Great.
And we have about 530 members right now.
That many. Wow.
Yeah, that's and great. That's household members.
Yeah.
So individuals is more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have about 200 volunteers at any time. We have about 70 volunteers that are really active in the organization, which is really amazing. I'm so impressed.
I'm impressed by that. That's a lot of people in the town that step up. That's great.
It was a really, really great. There's a lot of people who really care very deeply.
Right.
And so what I do is try to engage those people in some of the events and things that we do, whether they're volunteers. They could be a volunteer for, ongoing or just one event.
Okay.
Or we have people just kind of call up and say, I want to help. What can I do?
Which is really exciting. What and when can I do it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so, as I said, we are a membership organization. People can contribute. When they contribute, they become a member.
Okay. Now, is there a minimum charge, a minimum donation that you have to do to become a member? What's that?
Yeah, we try to say about $35 for a minimum.
Yeah.
We do take donations less than that.
Okay.
And for that, they'll get a free trail map.
Okay, good.
And some decals for the car.
Yeah.
And then they get put on all our lists for all our events that come up.
Okay.
We have a newsletter, an electronic newsletter. We're not doing the paper newsletter anymore.
Okay.
We do have a paper publication. The annual report comes out in the fall, which
gives
a rundown of all the different things that have been going on over the year.
Great.
And so I work with those members. We send them out notices, letters asking them to give again over and over a year.
Yeah, sure.
And we have a really high renewal rate. Probably, I would say it's about a 60-70% renewal rate.
Great.
Which is really exciting as well.
That's very exciting.
And we have conservation leadership circle for people who want to generously give us $1,000 or more, which is really a nice thing. People really want to make investments in the organization.
Great.
We also have what's called the Oak Society for people who want to leave us in their will or as a beneficiary of their IRA, or those kinds of things. So it's called a planned gift.
Yeah.
Or they can give to our endowment, which is a more lasting gift.
Sure.
To help us in planning for the future.
So you actually get both land or easements, or is it mostly monetary?
It's mostly monetary.
Okay.
We rarely get donated. We have had some donated easements, which Cindy talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't really donating land anymore, but we would love it if they
did. They're not making any more. They're not making any more land.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, gotcha.
But people would get a tax write-off if they did.
Okay.
Because it's all charitable. We are a 501c3, so we are. Any donation to us is tax deductible.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good benefit.
Yeah.
So above the $35, it's really kind of whatever somebody would want to do. It's not like you have different membership levels or anything.
We do, but they don't really change in the benefits that you get from them,
right,
other than the $1,000 gift.
Right. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah. But we also have events throughout the year that keep people engaged and getting to know us a little bit more.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah,
I think the next thing I wanted to talk about was any cool projects or events that are coming up, which I think we're going to bring in.
Well, Natasha will talk about events, and maybe Chris can probably talk about some of our stewardship events as well.
Okay, great.
Right. The ones that I work on are sort of the fundraisers, which are every year.
Okay.
Sort of the community-wide events.
Mm-hmm.
Chris would be working on the stewardship, where people can go out and build trails and help out on the land and work on the land, that kind of thing.
Right.
Natasha works with our school kids, and also we have some adult programs.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good.
Our biggest fundraiser is usually in the summer. This year, it's June 30th. It's Paint for Preservation.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. It's a great event.
Unfortunately, I haven't been there yet. Mm. It seems like every year I got something going on. Yep. I haven't been able to make it.
Yeah. Well,
which,
it is in
which
summer,
I'm bummed,
right?
Because it's, I know, because it's like every time I miss it, and every time I have tons of friends, it's like, oh, I wish you should have gone.
It's a great event.
Yeah.
It's a great.
Yeah.
This year it's June 30th, and we bring in 30 artists. We jury them. They do apply and get juried in. 30 artists paint over 3 days. Wow. Outdoors, and landscape painting in Cape Elizabeth, and then we auction them off on Sunday evening.
It's so great.
And it's a big gala out in this beautiful seaside location. People donate their houses for the day.
Yeah.
It's really sweet.
That's really unbelievable. Yeah. Now, that is the, if I remember right, I mean, there's like, last year, I remember somebody sitting on that island out there painting.
Yes.
That was part of this, right? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if any of you noticed that, but in Cape Elizabeth, my office is right there. So
that's right.
Every day I'd be driving up, and every day there'd be somebody there, painting away. That was really cool.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And that's a great thing. We also advertise where people are going to be, so people can go around and watch these painters
paint. Oh, that's neat.
It really is fun.
Yeah, that's
and they get to know people, and then they come to the event, and they can buy the painting if they really like it.
Oh, that's great.
And then we also, in the fall, we have a harvest party, which is open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, burgers and corn and salad. And we have a pie cake baking contest. And it's free to everybody, just for the community, which is a fun event, too.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. And those are the way we keep people involved in the organization.
Yeah. That's really great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
Chatting with you.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. All right, so we'll talk to Natasha Rathliv.
Mm-hmm.
I said that right?
Yep.
What's your position here?
I'm the education coordinator.
Okay, great.
Yep.
So education coordinator, I've learned a lot here about land trust. Mm-hmm. So are you the one that like goes out with the kids and leads the tours and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's a combination of coordinating school programs on various land trust properties and also other programming with a couple of the retirement resident homes here in Cape Elizabeth.
So there's
programs there, and also organizing with committee members the programs that we do in the community.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now the homes that you were talking about, what does that look like? I mean, what do you do there? Do you get just people out on the trails or?
Sometimes. So for example, do a series of programs at the landing at Cape Elizabeth.
Yeah, sure.
Just down the road. And so we actually go and do a series of presentations there throughout the year, covering just a variety of topics. I just did one on nocturnal animals that would be here in Cape. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty exciting. Sometimes bring in materials to the presentation. So I did a tide pool program and brought in a few species from the beach, and it was really exciting for the residents to get their hands on some of those things as well.
Yeah. Now, do you do pretty much the same programs for everybody, or do you try to, spice them up a little bit for kids, adults?
It's definitely different depending on the student programs are a little more geared towards what they're learning about in school. So for fourth grade, we focus a lot on food webs and the connections between animals and ecosystems and the local ecosystems here in Cape Elizabeth.
Yeah.
As well as winter adaptations is what we're kind of working on right now. So that's definitely very specific to the students. And then the community programming has a lot to do with what people who lead those walks want to or have a focus on in their life. So if they have a specialty, then it's kind of more focused on that and what their skill set is.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Great.
Yeah. So how does how did all this start? Like the education of it? Did the schools reach out to you? Did you go out to the schools?
So the program started with just a fourth grade walk program in Robinson Woods about 13 or 14 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's been going on quite some time. And it started with two parents in the school who are actually also members of the organization. They felt that kids just weren't having that chance to get outside anymore. So they started this program where they would take the students out from the school and take them and have them learn about those aspects of Robinson Woods and the ecosystem. And it kind of has grown from there, and now it's a really well-established program. The students get journals that they use in the classroom and take notes in about their visit to the property, and then it's also expanded into other grades as well. So it's really exciting.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a super program.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, I was telling, I think, Cindy, I mean, I got two little kids, and mm-hmm. you know, one in Pond Cove, one in middle school, and
yeah.
I know that they've come home raving about some of those trips out there.
Yeah, it's a great time.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Trying to think if there's anything else, any new programs, educational programs coming up, anything fun, exciting going on right now?
We're about to head out for our winter walks. So we're doing some trainings with volunteers next week, and then we'll head out in February to Robinson Woods with the fourth grade students, and then to Great Pond with the first grade students,
okay.
which is always really exciting. It's very weather dependent, what you're going to see. So it's kind of exciting. You never know what you might see that morning. We're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Any adult programs coming up?
Yeah, we have a few through community services.
Okay.
There's a snowshoe walk that Cindy is actually leading with another volunteer, which will be really exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm leading a winter tracking walk for families, so to look for tracks in the snow.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's really fun.
And what property is that on?
That's at Great Pond.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to sign up for that.
That's in my backyard. It's great. Yeah, we meet at the entrance off of Fenway, so
yeah.
It's pretty accessible. And then there's a Goodnight Cape Elizabeth, which is a program for young explorers, which happens here at the Land Trust, to just get really young kids excited about what's going on in nature.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And what's the absolute best way to find out about all this stuff? Is it the community center, or is the Land Trust website, or anything like that?
So we definitely advertise all our programs on our website and on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, but you have to sign up for those community programs through community services.
Right. Okay. Those on the book. You got to sign
right.
up
yep.
there.
Right. Yep.
Okay,
but you can find out all about them on our website and Facebook.
Okay. What is the, what's the website again?
Capelandtrust.org.
Capelandtrust.org. Mm-hmm. And do you know the Facebook page?
Cape Elizabeth Land Trust.
So facebook.com/Cape Elizabeth Land Trust.
Mm-hmm.
I got that right. I'll try to remember that.
Yeah.
Too. All right. Great.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. I appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you
very much.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Chris. Chris, what's your last name?
Shorn.
Shorn?
Yeah.
And what's your position here?
I'm the stewardship manager for Cape Elizabeth Land Trust.
Okay, great. And just as soon as I walked in, you said you've been here 2 weeks?
This is my third week.
So welcome to Cape Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Let's do this, right?
Yeah.
All right, great. But you guys, we're talking about some exciting things that it's coming up. I figured to bring you in for a minute, kind of chat about what are just some big, you know, maybe new land that you have coming up, or new trails, things like that. Can you tell me?
Yeah, so we just purchased a property, closed on the sale this past September. This really nice property off of Spurwink Avenue.
Great.
And it's a really neat site that was former farmland and has this really neat mixture of habitat for bird species, as well as this sort of intellectual farmland, which is a really important part of Cape Elizabeth heritage. And so we're, over the course of this sort of next field season, we're looking to bring in some consultants and just sort of do some vision planning to figure out how best to conserve this awesome piece of land that we have, what parts of the land we want to highlight, whether it's through conserving farmland or whether it's emphasizing early successional bird habitat.
Interesting.
Okay. And so we're really excited to sort of get involved in sort of the details of how we're going to conserve this. One event we have planned is in early April, we're getting some local seventh graders to come out and help us clear invasives, just sort of as an Earth Day celebration.
Oh, that's great.
Which, you know, we're really always happy for opportunities to get the community involved in conservation like that.
That sounds like great. And that's going to be seventh graders?
Yeah, seventh graders. And we're also working with eighth graders too to work on management at another one of our sites, but we haven't hammered out the details of when and where yet.
That's good. Kids that are strong and have lots of energy.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to sit back in the lawn chair and they
drink coffee. Hang out. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, where's the land on Spurwink? Is that out near like Gold Crest area?
It's right next to Gold Crest. It's actually really great because it's a pretty important sort of linkage in terms of connecting Gold Crest land with another one of our properties that we own at Runaway Farm.
Okay.
So it's perfect.
Another puzzle piece in that connectivity there.
Yeah, so we're really excited about it.
Now I'm excited because I live close to that.
We
go in the Gold Crest trails a lot and
great.
All that stuff. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, very, very cool. So any other cool events coming up this year, anything like that you could tell us?
Nothing set in stone yet. Okay. What I've been doing in the past 3 weeks is getting caught up.
Yes.
And so my vision
being thrown
hardly extends
it out, right?
past, you know, next week. But
sure.
You know, there's a lot to come down the line in terms of that property, in terms of some other properties which we may be adding.
Right.
My role is sort of to look at the lands that we already have and figure out where our priorities are in terms of taking care of those, which
right.
elements of them we want to bring out in our management activities. What are our priorities and really start to focus our attentions to stewarding these lands in perpetuity, which is, you know, sort of the that's our job, is to make sure not just that they're okay in the present, but to make sure these lands are healthy and functioning forever. And
right.
So we take that seriously, and so we're really excited to sort of start to be able
really
to look in that direction.
That. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, into
that seems to be like, the, you know, looking at it, not knowing a ton about the land trust, that seems like the hardest piece, is making sure that it's taken care of for, you know, down the road.
I mean, you can't know, but you know, for instance, so some of our staff just went out to the Lions Club a couple weeks ago to hear a presentation about the role that climate change is going to have on our local lands and Cape Elizabeth communities. And so that's just an example of, you know, nobody really knows what the future can hold, but we, you know, try to strive to make sure that we're well equipped to handle whatever challenges the, you know, future climate might throw at us, and to make sure that we are thinking about how to conserve these things in the long term.
Right.
And, you know, doing the best we can.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks, Chris.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Good luck to
thanks,
you. Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Sure.
Any last words on land trust? Anything else that you want to add?
Well, I would say that, you know, one thing the board talks about is there's probably like a 10 to 20 year window to really work on protecting land in Cape and having it stay forever Cape.
Right.
You know, and
and
so we're working hard on that because, you know, most people who live here for a reason.
Right.
You know, because they love the open space, they love the farmland, they love the feel of the town, and they love what they can do here.
Exactly.
And so we're really, you know, hoping to keep moving to
keep that going.
To keep it that way.
I mean, that's an important thing that you're saying there, because, you know, in my line of work, a lot of people call me because of the school system.
Yeah.
You know, quite frankly. But then once they get here and they start looking around, I think they realize, like, wow, it's truly a special town.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because of you guys.
Right.
You know, so thank you for that.
Right.
So I guess we'll finish on membership. $35 donation gets you a membership.
Individual, $50 for a family.
$50 for a family, right? And to become a member, what do we do? Is the best thing to go send them to your website?
Yep. You can go to the website. There's a donate button, and you can just do it right there.
And do it all there. That's probably the best place, right?
Yeah.
And that's Cape Elizabeth Land Trust.
Yep.
.com. Cape Elizabeth Land Trust. .org.
.org.
Cape Elizabeth Land Trust.
.org. Or Cape Land Trust. .org.
Okay. Cape Land Trust. .org. All right,
yes.
We got it. Cape Land Trust. .org. And you also have a Facebook page. You can find it at Cape Land Trust. Facebook.com/Cape Land Trust. People can come in here too, right?
Yes, we love it when people stop in. And in fact, we get a lot of people stopping in who just moved to town, or they're thinking of moving to town. I mean, we really do.
Like, what is that? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they say they've moved here because they liked the town. You know? And so, yeah. So we love it when people stop in.
Perfect. And if you don't know where we are, we're on 77. We're across the street from CVS. So if you're coming down 77 in Cape Elizabeth and you see CVS, just look to your left and you'll see it. What's the address here?
330 Ocean House Road.
330 Ocean House Road, Cape Elizabeth, Maine.
And for being right in the middle of town, we had some gray fox who had their young under our shed. We have fawns that walk by. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
Right in the middle of town.
It really is neat.
Part of the wildlife.
It really is cool. When I pulled in here, it is. It's like you pull in and you're like, you're instantly in the woods.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
It's really awesome. Yeah. Well, great. Well, thank you, Cindy.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Fun.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys. Hope you enjoyed this and hope you learned a lot about the land trust. This was a great time here. So check it out, share it, and we'll see you soon. Thanks. Hey everyone, thank you for listening to the Make Maine Your Home podcast. If you enjoyed it, please be sure to subscribe to it, rate it, and of course share it. You can also check out the video version on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/makemaineyourhome. I also want to give a special shout out to Portland Podcast. They're Maine's first podcasting studio. I dump all these files right in their lap and, they're able to make it happen with ease. So thanks to them. And thanks again for listening. Have a great day and we'll see y'all soon.